5 as we go through the Sermon on the Mount. Heard some people ridicule the Sermon on the Mount, and they talk about it's too radical and it's almost unbelievable. Nobody could live it. Well, Jesus didn't preach it because he didn't think anybody could live it. It's livable, if that's a word. Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at verses 44 through 48. Matthew 5. I'm going to preach from the subject. Stop being a hater. Stop being a hater. Stop being a hater. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Didn't say that. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Father, in the name of our Savior and our Lord, we just pray right now for those that are in God's house, not only in this house, but throughout God's house, all across this great country of ours. We pray that the word of God will be preached, that ministers and pastors would get serious about preaching God's word. Amen. That they would confront and challenge folks. That they would call them to repentance. That they would let them know that the truth of God's word, though it may hurt, is the truth. Amen. And we can't escape from the truth. Amen. Father God, give it to us, plain and simple, that the babies can understand. Yes. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Stop being a hater. Bizarre stuff. Bizarre stuff. Jesus has been teaching bizarre stuff. Folks, look at the word of God and say, man, that is bizarre. And I don't care who you are, the Sermon on the Mount has gotten your attention. Because we are all of us are faced with these challenges on a daily basis. On a daily basis. We're all being asked to turn the other cheek. How many has had to turn the other cheek? How many can do it? Some of us can't do it. Nothing wrong with it. This is why we teach. Some folks, listen, I'm an eye for an eye, two for a two. You call me out, I'm calling you out. I'm not turning nothing. Okay? And that's a lot of the reason why we see so many young folks dying. So many folks getting shot and killed because they can't turn the other cheek. Amen. You step on my shoe, you call me out of my name, you got to pay. Amen. Young man just got killed, supposedly over a video game. The woman with him was shot in the shoulder. Why? Somebody couldn't turn the other cheek. Somebody didn't have the power to say, you know what, that ain't worth me shooting him for, or that ain't worth him dying. And then they shooting up the funeral. They go to the funeral, to the church and shoot up. The church. Uh-huh. Well, if they take your shirt, give them your jacket too. Amen. Is it worth dying over? Uh-huh. Is it worth losing your testimony over? You're a child of God. Is it worth you being on the front page of the newspaper over a jacket? Uh-huh. If someone steals your money, is it worth killing them for? That's what Jesus is talking about. And it's bizarre stuff. And people say, listen, do me wrong, I'm getting you. All the movies you watch, you know what? I'm going to get you, sucker. Unforgiven. Unforgiven. All the movies we watch, you watch this stuff. You watch this stuff, and you believe me, you watch it more than you read the Bible. You watch it more than you read the Bible. See? And when you watch it, it comes into your heart, it comes into your soul. And listen, when somebody does you wrong, I can't forgive. I done talked to many of folks, I can't forgive. It's not in me to forgive. I know it's not in you, because the only way you can forgive is the Word of God is in you. You're struggling right now today because I can't forgive. Mad at somebody you've been mad at for 50 years. They long gone. Still mad at them. And singing in the choir. Mad at folks. Singing in the choir. Mad at folks. Ushering. Mad at folks. Taking up offerings. Mad at folks. Praying. With an unforgiving heart. Jesus says, love your enemies. That's easy for Jesus. No, that's easy for you. If you say you're a child of God. Because that's what God's saying. If you're a child of God, these are life principles. These aren't options. Okay? These are commands. This is a command statement. He's saying, love your enemy. That's bizarre. That's right. Who is your enemy? Oh, yeah, even better yet. What is an enemy? What is an enemy? Someone who is hostile towards you. Someone who will cuss you out. Someone who is your opposite. Someone who wants to kill you. Here's a good description of an enemy. 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be sober. Be vigilant. Why? For your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion who walks about seeking whom you may devour. So we don't pay attention. We don't pay attention. You know, I always tell the one story. I tell you guys a story about the three hunters went hunting. Okay, and they all shot a deer at the same time. Big old buck. And they ran over to him. It was a lawyer, a doctor, and a preacher. And then they asked, they couldn't figure out who shot him. So they called the game warden. The game warden came over, looked at the deer, and said, the preacher shot him. And the lawyer and the doctor said, how do you know? How could you determine that so quickly? Because he said, it's a clean hit. It went in one ear and out the other. And many of us hear the word like that. You know, I hear this preacher every Sunday. I don't even know why y'all come. Because it's going in one ear and out the other. Who is your enemies? Uh-huh. And again, the Word of God says, explains to you who your enemies are. Yes, yes. Anyone who curses you. See, some of us now, we got friends that curse us. It's a term of endearment now. Call you all out of your name. Amen. Call you the bees. Call you the N-word. Call you all out of your name. That's my homie. That's my dog. That's my girl. But they cursing you. They putting a curse on you. When somebody call you the N-word, they putting a curse on you. Amen. Saying you nothing, and you will never be nothing. But that's my G. Listen. The greatest of us will be cursed. David was cursed. But he wasn't cursed by someone that was dear to him. He was cursed by the enemy. 2 Samuel 16, David was cursed. His son Absalom had basically took over the kingdom, and David was on the run. So he went down into Bahurim, and Shimei cursed him. Verse 11 says like this, and David said to Absalom and to his servants, behold my son, which came forth of my bowels. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something, folks. Your kids can become your enemies. Amen. Your children can become your enemies. Now, we don't like to hear that. Your family can become your enemies. See, what's the enemy's job is to stop you from being all that you can be. And family can do that. There's a whole lot of folks in trouble because of family. family mess. Ain't got nothing because of family. Oh, I won't hear me. Here's David. Here's David talking about Absalom. He said, my son seeking my life. Let me tell you something. You're in the right situation. A lot of parents, a lot of brothers and sisters right now, blood pressure high, diabetes, cancer, all that because recklessness at home. He said, listen. Verse number 12. It says that the man was a Benjamite and he was cursing David. And here's what David said. David said, let him curse. Let him curse, verse 11, for the Lord have bidden him. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes God will let somebody curse you. See, what we like to do, we get somebody, an enemy. I done seen preachers do it. They get some members in the church, don't care for them, don't like them. You know what the preacher will do? Run them out of church. Because see, a lot of preachers want everybody to like them. That ain't even biblical. That ain't even biblical. That's not even biblical. Because you got a preacher that everybody like. Guess what? I know one thing for certain, two things for sure. He ain't preaching nothing. Amen. Everybody ain't going to like the preacher. Amen. Jesus said they hated me. They're going to hate you. And if you preaching God's word and you preaching it with authority and might, folks ain't going to like it. Amen. That don't mean it ain't true. Amen. That means they just don't like it. I didn't like it. There was a time I ain't like it. I ain't like preachers. I ain't like church. I ain't like church folk because they reminded me that of the hell that I was going to. Amen. Till I see a church man, a church woman with their little hats on, coming with their little white on Sundays and stuff. And it just made me mad. Because it revealed who I was. Amen. I don't know. I don't know. Listen. Not only is people curse you, hate you, or curse you or your enemies, anyone who hates you, that's your enemy. Now remember, the whole subject is we get to a point, we're gonna find some love for these folks. Okay? We're gonna turn this thing around and we're gonna love these haters, we're gonna love these enemies. But Jesus says, anyone that hates you, how about that? Bless those that hate you. How about that? Is that easy? Not at all. But it ain't easy being a man of God. It ain't easy being a woman of God. See, what a lot of churches have done is made it easy to be a man of God, a woman of God. You can be a man or woman of God and hate half the church. Come on now. Don't want to be with them. Don't want to eat with them. Don't want to fellowship with them. But you're a Christian. And you hate half the members of the church. You got to click over here. You got to click over here. You got to click back there. I can't sit with them. Can't sit with them. I only can sit with my peoples. I only can sit with my dudes. I only can sit with my girls. But I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. All right. I just know it's two heavens. I haven't read it in the Bible, but I know it's got to be two. I just know it's got to be two. Because everybody going in the road that Jesus puts out is narrow. Look at John 15. Look at John 15 and 18 and 19. Look what it says. He says, a comfort and hatred and persecution of the world. Listen, if the world hates you, and the world will, you stand for truth. You stand for what's right. You decide you're going to do what's right. I'm going to stand against some things. The world will come against you. Talked to a young lady yesterday. She was, you know, we doing this epiphany thing, and she's telling me about tattoos. And I know y'all heard me preach on tattoos. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. I got a tattoo. Okay? I'm going to get another one because I know what the Word of God says. But, you know, because I have one and enjoy tattoos, don't make the Word of God wrong. Okay? That's all. If you got a tattoo, you know what? If you got a tattoo and you unsaved and you was unsaved when you got it like I was, you know, so be it. But the Word of God said we are not to cut our bodies and mark ourselves up. Amen. And put folks' names on us. That's just what the Word of God said. You can take it or leave it. Amen. Okay? That's just the Word of God. Now, you stand there, now you get upset with the preacher. I'm just telling you what the Word of God said. Amen. You know, you ask me, what the Word of God say about tattoos? I'm at Leviticus 19:28. Well, I don't believe. Well, how did you even ask me that? You asked me what God said about it. Come on, man. Okay? You ask me about some other stuff, I'll just tell you what God said. Amen. And when I do that, I'm going to be hated. Why? If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. I'm in good company. Okay, if you were of the world would love his own. Now, if I was of the world and I got a tattoo and I care what God's word said and I got my arms covered up and my back covered up and my neck covered up, I got my face covered up with tattoos, and the world like, man, you say, dude, you are smoking. You look so good. But if I'm up here preaching to y'all, you know, preaching and smoking cigarettes and drinking and doing all that, y'all gonna look at me like, what's wrong with the preacher? Okay. I have my little baptismal clothes on today. I'm going to get in the baptismal pool. Rita see me. What you got that on for? She thought I was getting up here with that. I mean, she looked at me like, what's wrong with you? I said, Rita, I'm baptizing today. Oh. Because there's a way that I must present myself. Amen. As a man of God. Amen. And then when you become a man of God, a woman of God, there's certain things you're not going to do no more. Amen. Okay? You're just not. It's just going to stop. And when you stop, your buddies and your friends are going to say, what's wrong with you? And they'll hate you. Because all who desire to live godly in Christ, the moment you say, I'm going to live godly, the world going to hate you. 2 Timothy 3:12-13. Anyone who spitefully used you. How about that? Anybody like being spitefully used? Oh my goodness. This is what the word of God is saying. Anyone who spitefully used you. Many of us in here been used and abused. Used and abused. Okay? It don't feel good, do it? Didn't feel good when Jesus was being spitefully used and abused. But he was doing it for us. He was doing it for us. The world hated him because he was truth. And in the moment you say that I'm going to stand for what's right, the world going to spitefully use you. Look at it. Let's see what it looks like. Look at Luke 6:28. It says this in verse 26. It said, then he released Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They had to put a crowd in front of them. Look what they did. And they stripped him. And they put on a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns upon his head, and they put a reed in his hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Why did they do this? What did he do? What did he do to deserve this? See, someone who spitefully used you, you ain't got to do nothing to get this. You can be just sweet and nice and kind, and folks will take your kindness for granted. Amen. And they will spitefully use you because they think you're weak. They think you're soft, and they'll just take advantage of you. And this is how what's happening today. We just live in a world today where folks are just, they believe they're entitled to everything. Uh-huh. And if you don't give it to them, they're going to spitefully use you. Look what they did to Jesus. Verse 30. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him in the head. They hit him in the head with him. You ever been hit in the head by your enemies? Hit in the head, smacked around. You can be smacked around verbally. You can be smacked around physically. You can be smacked around verbally and physically to someone that you love. Amen. Insulted. Falsely accused. All that goes with spitefully using you. Look at the last point, and I'll move on. We're going to get to how we love, or why we should love our enemies and how we love them. Look at this last one. Anyone who persecutes you. How about that? But I say, unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Pastor, you off the chart today. This is in red if you got a King James Bible. Amen. Do good to them that hate you. Really? Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you. You know why I say that? It's hard to hate somebody you're praying for. You put that person on your prayer list, and your hate will go away. You start praying for this person, and you hate. It's hard to hate somebody and pray for them at the same time. It's hard. Matter of fact, it's impossible. But he finishes up this one. And persecute you. persecute you. You know, Paul was a chief persecutor. He persecuted the Jews. He persecuted Christians so bad. And I got so many scriptures I could use. But this one here, this really stands out. Acts 26. Paul's talking about his past. He says in 26:9, he says, "And I verily thought of myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." He just hated Jesus. And if you don't, if you here today, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, you can say what you want. You hate him. You can only hate him or love him. You can't. Well, you know, I'm undecided about Jesus. Well, if you're undecided about Jesus, you're decided about Satan. Amen. You either love him or you hate him. You either worshiping him or you dishonoring him. You either giving him glory or you giving Satan glory. You're not in the middle. You're not straddling the fence. Paul hated Jesus. He says this, "Which thing I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." Verse 11, "And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." You keep on living the Christian life. Folk gonna hate you. You don't even know why they hate you. They don't even know why they hate you. They just being used by the devil. But don't run all your haters away. Keep you some haters around you, because haters make you better. Amen. See, we think folks that's patting us on the back, telling us we wonderful, all make us better. No. Adversity makes you better. Pain and suffering makes you stronger. You don't get strong by having weak folk around you. Amen. You need some folk around you that's going to confront you and challenge you and push you. See, what we do, we just surround ourselves with weaklings. Okay? See, we didn't run around with guns when I was coming up. See, now weaklings run around with guns. And they get to the joint, ain't no guns. They got to use these. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Get them weak folk away from you. Get them away from you. You're too weak. Get you some strong folks around you, or you be the one that empowers the ones around you. You make them better. Oh, my goodness. Listen, why love your enemy? Why should I love my enemy? Listen, you are never more like God than when you love your enemies. Oh, y'all know where I'm going. Jesus loved us when we hated him. Romans 5 and 8 says, "But God commended his love toward us when, that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Love them haters. Love them into the kingdom. Somebody had to love you into the kingdom. You wasn't born in love with God. You was born in sin. You were born in sin. Listen, Colossians 1:21, Paul saying this, "And having made peace through the blood of the cross." We talk about at the cross. We talk about the blood. Paul said, "By having made peace through the blood." If you say you've been washed in the blood, you say you've been born again, you say you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, as Nick did the day before he was baptized, then you have a responsibility to love them haters. Love them, because you was a hater once, and God shed his blood for you and me. We have no right to hate anyone. Oh, my goodness, y'all. He says, listen, having made peace through the blood of Christ, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, I say, whether they be things in earth or in heaven. Listen, you have a responsibility to love the haters. Oh, Pastor, a little bit too much. It is a bit too much for me just reading it, just studying it. Why do we do it? Verse 45. "That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven." It's a confirmation of the fact that you're heading to heaven. It's a confirmation of salvation. You love haters. You've never been more like God. That's your qualification. That's another stamp that you're on the right road when you love the unlovable. Amen. Can you love the unlovable? I don't know. Yeah. We're sitting here this conversation this morning. As far as I'm going with that. Some folks don't want to be loved. Some folks going to reject your love. Amen. Some folks don't know how to be loved. They've never been loved before. They don't know how to be loved. And if they can't find it from someone who says that they know Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, where are they going to find it? Amen. Where are they going to find it if they don't find it in God's house? Amen. Among folks that say they love the Lord, how is it unlovable if someone that's never been loved going to know love? If it can't be found in the doors of God's house. See, we run all the folks out. We want all the folks out. We want everybody to love us. And we run them out. We have no right. We have one responsibility here to preach truth. Now, if the truth runs somebody out. Amen. Okay? To put that on the truth. Don't put it on me. Because I'm going to preach the truth. Because you know what? Somebody said the truth will do what? Set you free. Somebody locked up right now. Locked up in their hearts and their minds and their soul and their spirit because they haven't heard the truth. And how often should they hear? All the time. That's all you should find here. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, the church is the grounds and the pillars of the truth. Truth ought to be preached all the time. Truth ought to be sang all the time. And the folks singing ought to be living truth. Amen. The people, I say it all the time. I get on these ushers and trustees, all of us in here. If you hold a plate, you ought to be living the truth. Amen. Sometimes I question folks, what you doing this for? What you doing this for? Why should we love the enemies? To be unlike sinners. See, sinners can't love. See, you can't love. You can tell somebody you love them. You know, you can tell, I love you. If you don't know the Lord, you can't love nobody. You know, I didn't start loving Cindy. I didn't start loving my wife until I got a relationship with God. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. I didn't even know how to love her. All you know, I love you. I love you. You love me. Some Elmo stuff. Barney. I get my characters right. Elmo loved Miss Piggy, didn't she? Something like that. I'm all over the place. Listen. Kermit. Well, I see y'all. Y'all done brought some Peyton Place into the picture. Now Kermit and Elmo love Piggy. All right. To be unlike sinners. The reason we love the way we do, because we want to be identified with Christ. We don't want to be like sinners, because sinners can't love. Amen. They can't love. They can call it that. Okay? You don't know how to love until you love Jesus. Amen. You just don't. Call it what you want. Listen. I hear you, Deacon. 2 Peter 1:4, I like this one here. See, the Word of God will give you reasons why you love. Here's why you love. Here's why you love sinners. 1 Peter 1:4. Listen, he said, whereby are given unto us, Christians. Peter putting himself in the same spot with these believers. Given unto us an exceeding great and precious promises. What, Peter? That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. See, the reason why you can love or the reason why you can't love is because when you don't have a divine nature, you can't love anybody with the nature you was born with. This is why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You need the nature of God to love like God. Amen. See, when you're born with the nature of the devil, and you're gonna love like the devil. Uh-huh. You're gonna love for what you can get out of it. How it makes you feel, and all that. Uh-huh. See, you know. And then when you get in that relationship, when you got the devil's kind of love, and when your wife get a little heavy, she done had a couple babies by you, you ready to cut her loose because that's the devil love. You don't know how to love. Somebody, I love you. Don't tell me that.
Amen.
You don't love nobody.
Amen.
You're unsaved. You're ungodly. You don't know the Lord, so you don't love nobody.
Amen.
You like them a lot. You lust after them. You want to ruin their life.
Yes, yes.
You want to get them pregnant and they don't take care of the babies. That's all you want to do. You just want to feel good.
Uh-huh.
Sex ain't love.
Amen.
Oh, Pastor. Help somebody. Listen. You love them to overcome evil. How about that one? You overcome evil. See, it's, when you can't love because you're evil. That's why you can't love. That's why you got this fake love. I love you. And you can tell five or six people you love them. You know? But then, you know, in the African-American community, so many brothers locked up. So many other ones in the ground. And the other ones is twisted. So, you know, an African-American brother can have 10 women.
Amen.
With no job.
Amen.
Because it's just a lot of sisters. Because all the brothers in the ground, all the brothers smoking dope, all the brothers is on the down low, the other ones is in the prison, so all the sisters is running around here like, you so cute.
Uh-huh.
Ain't nobody cute broke. Okay? Ain't nobody cute that ain't got no job. Ain't nobody cute that's uneducated. And you cute. I like your hair. Like, take that hair to the bank and see what the bank gave you for it. Oh, Pastor, there you go. Listen, Pastor, you've said a lot. Help me. How do I love them? I want to do what you said. How do I love my enemies? The Word of God says it in the text. Read the text. It explains itself. Bless them. They persecute you. Bless them. Be a blessing to them. Say kind things to them. And when they say evil things to you, you can speak well of them. If you can't speak well of them, don't say nothing.
Amen.
Okay? And sometimes it's a blessing just to be quiet.
Amen.
Sometimes it's a blessing just to be quiet. This is what it also says. It says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them. See, the Pharisees had it all messed up. They was teaching the people, you had heard it been said, love your neighbors and hate your enemy. That's not what it said. That's not what the text said. The text said, love those who are your enemies. In Leviticus 19 and 18. Did not say that. Okay? So we get caught up thinking we got to hate folks because they are enemies. That's not true. We ought to do good to them. How do I do good to an enemy? Think about it. How do I do good to an enemy? Somebody got an idea? Be good. You be good. Be a role model. Be an example. That's what a lot of times, that's what folks need. They need to see what it looks like. They need to see how it acts. They need to see what it laughs at. They need to see the places it go. When you're doing good to folks when you do that. That's why I say love your enemies. See, enemies will keep you straight. Okay? Let me explain that from a pastor's perspective. Okay? See, I'll be your enemy if y'all see me doing some stuff that I wasn't supposed to be doing. Okay, there's things that the pastor ought not be doing.
Amen.
There are places the pastor ought not be going. Okay? There's places y'all don't need to see me at. So I need my enemies. So if I don't have no enemies, then I can go anywhere I want to. But you know, you catch me somewhere, somebody gonna tell you. Okay? You say, we seen your pastor. And usually the person who's saying that ain't got, you know you ain't got no business being anywhere that person was at. So you need enemies. I don't know if that makes sense. I had to think about it. Praying for them. Can you pray for the people who despitefully use you? This is how you love them. You pray for them. We write our lists out. I know I got some enemies. I pray for them. But enemies make you better. You do the kind of work. I can't speak for a whole lot of folks in here. But I can speak for those that, if Coop was here, or Evelina and Roy, when we was in the correction business, in the time we was in that business where it wasn't popular. But enemies keep you right. You know, I look at Dave. Dave's a supervisor down where he at. Listen, let me tell you something. He got some folks that watching everything he do, ready to write him up. And you know, as a warden and as Evelina's job in management, folks looking at you. My job, they watching. Let me come in late 2 days in a row. I need them enemies because the enemies keep you tight. They keep you right. I need enemies in here because the enemies in here going to keep me right. They're going to keep me in the text. They're going to keep me in the scriptures. A lot of pastors ain't going to preach anything they want to say, anything they want to say. When you get some folks in here that know the word of God, they keep you better. They keep you tight. They make you study. They make you study. So I pray for my enemies. I pray that they show up every Sunday. Because they keep me right. Here's a good one. I'm almost done. Dynamic. How about that? Spirited good. You got a dynamic spirit. Where are you going with this? Do you? Do you have an active spirit? Is the spirit that works in you? Is it alive? Is it active? Do people notice it? We've been talking about love. Let's go to the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. This is love chapter. I think Barry White might have liked this one. Listen. Says this. Verse 4. I'm just going to go 13, 4. Listen. Charity, which means love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not our own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Really means thinketh no evil, meaning keep no record. You know, you got record keepers. They can ruin marriages. Okay? You newlyweds, Jake, don't be keeping no records. Amen. You do that all the time. That's the third time you did that this week. You always leave the cabinets open. You never put the toilet seat down. I done told all my business. Cindy be keeping records. Cindy love keepers no records. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. See, when you hear the truth, When a person with the Spirit of God in their life, when they hear the truth, you know, but they, amen. Oh, that feels good. It's so good to hear the truth. When you listen to Donald Trump and Hillary all week, it's so good. It's so good to hear the truth. It's so good to hear the truth. Come to church, you ought to hear the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. That's some good marriage advice. Love never fails. Amen. Love never fails. Let me close with another enemy. Just another enemy of the soul. Adversity. Adversity. That's an enemy. Anybody ever dealt with some adversity? Hardship. Difficulty. Hard times. Misfortune. All this is adversity. And you're going to face it. This is why I do what I do. This is why I do what I do, because I know you're going to face some things. And you know, we're going to face death. We're going to face cancer. We're going to face sickness. We're going to face disease. And when you face some things, it's not the time to get ready. You need to be ready for hardship and adversity and difficulty, because it's the world we live in. It's coming your way. Listen, listen. Here's what Paul says. He says in Acts 14:22, he said, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Why, Paul? Why must we continue in the faith? He says this, in that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. You're not getting through this thing scot-free. You're going to suffer and you're going to have hardship and difficulty. You're going to have it. And you have to be ready for it before it comes. You can't be ready. I was with Big David up in Cleveland Clinic, and the nurses come out there, and they, you know, he had a 3-hour surgery. And the nurse standing there, well, good luck on your surgery. And I'm like, oh, Lord, have mercy. You taking me under for 3 hours and you talking about good luck? No. I said, Dave, we ain't counting on no luck here, bro. We leaning on the Lord. Okay? Man, good luck. Don't y'all say that to nobody. Y'all go to the hospital. Rita, I'm not. When I come there and you go to that surgery, I ain't going to be no good luck, Rita. I think Rita will slap me. Good luck. Like I'm a leprechaun or something. Trust in the Lord. No good luck about this. You will face adversity. You will face adversity. But know this. Know this about adversity. It's not going to last long. You ain't here long. See, some of y'all think y'all gonna live forever. That's why you struggle so much. You getting out of here. Amen. 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. You getting out of here. Amen. Okay? Some of you getting out of here. Some of y'all think y'all living to be 160, 170. You're not. Okay? Listen to what Paul says about adversity, about trouble. I like this one. This is one of my favorite verses. I wish Claire was here. This is one of hers. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. Listen to what it says. For which cause we faint not. We faint not, but through our outward man perish. Yet the inward man is renewed, how Paul? Day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Lori, I think y'all knew that. Okay? She knew the outward affliction only lasts for a minute. Cancer ain't doing nothing to the, it's not doing nothing to your soul. Okay? Cancer don't do nothing to your soul. It only affects the body. Amen. That's why Paul says this. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. This is to the believer. See, you got a hard time understanding this if you don't know Jesus Christ. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So you got to know that. You got to know that before you start taking them treatments and stuff. You got to know that before you get sick. You know, you're not going to learn all that when that leg go through you or you had that massive heart attack. You need to know this stuff. See, somebody might come over you and give you your last rites. You better know something. Or say that good luck. Put you on the gurney, tell you on the ambulance, and tell your people good luck. Listen, let me tell you something. Trouble coming your way. Amen. Trouble coming your way. James put it like this. James said this. He says, for this thing, no, excuse me, James 1:13. Uh-oh. I got to find it now. I just spoke it. I thought I wrote it down. I'll be flying through here. Look at James 1:13. I'm there. I'm faster than Matthew. James 1:13. He says, I'm all over the place. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. What's James saying? For when he is tried, tested. For when he is tested or tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord have promised to them that love him. You know what? Now, many of y'all still in school. I'm going to speak to the teenagers and some of y'all just in college and been to college. Usually you're not going to be tested on anything you haven't been prepared for. Okay, now I know some of y'all get an F and you'll come home and tell me or tell your parents, well, you know, the stuff on the test, she didn't tell us what's going to be on the test. We didn't study that. I've been raising kids a long time. Okay? Amen. You heard that too, Ms. Brandt. Okay, so here's what happens. God is only going to test you for what he prepares you for. And if you aren't prepared when the test comes, what you going to do? Fail. fail. So God is calling you to prepare for the test. I know I might have messed that all up, but I understand what I'm saying. The test is coming. It's coming. And it's coming sooner than later. And if you ain't prepared, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. Precious Lord, I don't want to see these folks fail. I don't want to see them fail. I want to see them succeed. I want to see them stand in glory. And when the test come, and when the bad report come, and the negativity come, and the hostility come, and the hatred come, they will be prepared. They will be prepared. When the doctors say, we've done all we can do, they will be prepared. When the doctors say, call your family in, let them say their last goodbyes, that they would be prepared. And not only will the person that's going through be prepared, it's important that we be prepared for what our loved ones do go through. I listened to my brother. My uncle passed away, and he was the last uncle on my mother's side. And my brother immediately said, I'm next. I'm next. I'm the oldest living family member now. And guess what? He right. He right. Now, whether he be next or not, we don't know. But one thing for certain, two things for sure, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And you must be ready for the judgment. As pastor, as ministers, as a church body, our job is to prepare you guys for the ministry. And if you go into a church where they ain't preparing you for what's to come, you need to run.
Amen.
You need to run.